Blog Talk Radio.
The coronavirus, but I think we got everything under control. Elos and my co-host, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm Eli Watson. John, you're cutting in and out really hard. Maybe I should hang up and call again.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Oh,
I can.
Oh yeah, I can hear you just fine.
Yeah, just our coronavirus.
Nope, lost you again.
We're all as well, so anyway, you lost me again. Oh, heck. This is terrible. All righty. Well, you can? That's good. I hope you can. Let me know if we have any problems. And we'll read. Anyway, it's good to get to talk to you. It's been so busy down here with the virus. I know you're going around with the family, everything out there in people's studios.
What?
And now there you are again.
I'm here.
You are again.
All right.
Good, good. Well, hopefully we got the flu out of the system there. So how are you doing tonight in beautiful Studio City?
I'm good. I'm just hanging out, man. Everything's shut down, so I'm just staying at home, reading some Chupacabra
reports.
Are
you waiting on the Chupacabra?
Oh, yeah. I'm waiting.
Is he coming by to visit tonight?
Yeah, we're going to have some tortillas and some burritos. Oh, wait.
He might drink bourbon. So if you got any bourbon, he might take some of that, too.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely, he will. Yeah, we're just hanging out here in Myrtle Beach. Nobody's around. It's very quiet. Everybody's at home. Nobody's downtown. All the spring breakers have broken. So we're just here by ourselves and just waiting for cool things to happen. Maybe a UFO or Bigfoot will show up tonight. We'll see. But anyway, yeah, speaking of El Chupacabra, you have been telling me that you've got a great story to tell us tonight, and you put it on our Facebook page. So what is it about? You tell me, and then I've got two stories for you about the Chupacabra.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the story that I shared to the Facebook page is from Valle de Bravo in Mexico, which is a state of Mexico. It's like a little bit more south than you might, closer to Central America is what I'm trying to get at here. But apparently,
okay,
a 54-year-old taxi driver was found dead on March 1st with deep wounds and torn clothing. And while officially the cause of the death is a carnivorous animal, they think that it was perpetrated by a lion or a tiger that escaped from a nearby ranch. But a lot of people think it may have been the Chupacabra. And I mean, it doesn't give us much more details than that, but I don't know, the uncertainty of a lion.
Let's go back to here. So we're talking about less than a month ago.
Yeah, this is
3.5 weeks ago.
Yeah, beginning of this month.
And so what happened? So tell us what happened or what have they been able to eat?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. Hello?
What did they piece together about the story? Yeah, can you hear?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, they think it's some sort of lion or a tiger that escaped from a nearby ranch that killed this man. I mean, there really isn't that much information. They just said they found his body with deep wounds and torn clothing. And it says that there was so much fear. No, get this, John, because they said there were, basic education classes have been suspended as a result of this attack. People stopped going to school because of this attack.
Well, now, so apparently there was a farm that had a lion or a tiger there, but wouldn't they have reported that as having escaped? Wouldn't they have reported that to the police?
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. I think that's why they think it is a lion or a tiger that killed the man. But, like I said, I don't know if there was blood at the scene or if it was, if the man was completely drained of blood. Of course, I don't know if they would even let that kind of information get out.
Well, now Eli, let's hold on a minute here. I've never heard of a lion or tiger attacking a human, draining the body of blood. Have you?
No.
That's kind of crazy. Is that all they said?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very short article. It's like three paragraphs. It's according to the Yucatan Times.
The Yucatan Times. There's a newspaper I haven't heard of before. For sure.
Yeah, we'll have to put that on our radar. Keep an eye out, huh?
Yeah, on our chupacabra radar. Yeah, that's a good idea. I mean, the whole reason we did this is because we believe there's something out there that is not usual, and it's not a dog with mange.
Right.
Another problem with dogs with mange is they're weak.
Yeah.
They have a hard time attacking. At least that's what I've read. I've never really dealt with one, you know.
Right.
I don't know.
I mean,
it's just kind of strange. And I mean, because, okay, I'm going to tell my story. And my story actually, now believe it or not, this is from the website Live Science. Are you ready?
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Live Science.
I'm ready.
On the southwest coast of Africa, that's the lower left. That would be to the left of Cape Town, South Africa. They have reported being terrorized by a bizarre dog-pig hybrid creature. The animal is said to be mostly white and unlike anything the villagers have ever seen, with a dog-like head and broad, round, nearly hairless back and shoulders of a giant pig. The beast was spotted attacking and chasing dogs and goats and other domestic animals in the region not far from the Kalahari Desert. Now, what have I described something that might be a chupacabra?
I think so.
Dog-like head, hairless on the back, big shoulders like a giant pig. Ugh, sounds horrible.
Yeah.
This article kind of goes a little bit sideways, and it gets into our buddy Benjamin Radford. You know Benjamin, don't you?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It said, as often happens when rumors of monsters spread in rural areas around the world, some locals have taken extra safety precautions, such as traveling groups and arming themselves with weapons. Now, in 1995 and 1996, some Puerto Ricans armed themselves with knives against the vampire beast El Chupacabra.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it wasn't far long after that that Malaysian residents patrolled streets searching for the mysterious Orang Minyak, or the oily man creature, that has terrorized them for the longest of times. Now, back to our monster to the Kalahari in Africa. What could this mm-hmm. monster be? The Zambian official regional councillor Andreas Munjendi was quoted in the Informante newspaper as saying, "This is an alien animal that the people have not seen before. We don't have a forest here, only bushes, so this must be black magic at play." That's one of their administrators. Some people in the area traced the beast to one old man rumored to be a warlock or a witch doctor, suggesting it's his pet, or what witch hunters hundreds of years ago would have called a familiar.
Oh,
the assumption that the beast has magical origins is not surprising. Now, a 2010 Gallup poll, now we're going way back here, we're going about mm-hmm. 9.5 years ago, found belief in magic widespread throughout the sub-Saharan Africa, with more than half of the respondents saying they personally believe in witchcraft and sorcery. Now, if you'd come over here to America, most everybody would look at you and laugh at you, unless you were from one of the following areas. Unless you were from near Pawleys Island, where the Geechies and the Boohags live, or if you mm-hmm. were in Louisiana, which is absolutely... Have you ever been to Louisiana?
I have not. It's on my list.
The place is terrifying at night, just believe me. And I drove by Lake Pontchartrain going to St. Charles, Louisiana one time. And Lake Pontchartrain, with all those reeds and all this weird stuff, it is scary. I'll get out. It really is. I don't want to be at Lake Pontchartrain at night. Something's going to come out of that and get you. Now, I mean, I don't, I mean, and listen, I see enough Bigfoot activity and UFO activity. I know there's stuff out there. I just do. So, I mean, I don't want to mess around with that stuff. Well,
no way.
The article goes on to say, the first time that an unusual animal has been spotted in the rural areas in quite a while, but there have been. Several other monsters have been reported over the years, including in July 2009, when unknown creatures reportedly sucked the blood out of the livestock, including 24 goats nearby. Though no one saw the monsters, they were said to have left footprints similar to those of a dog, but much larger. Police followed the footprints, but they mysteriously stopped in an open field, as if the creature suddenly took flight or vanished. At the time, locals were also convinced that the strange beast was the product of black magic, going so far as to accuse the old man and his sister of conjuring up the creatures. It's not clear whether the locals believe that the current dog-headed, pig-bodied animal is the same mystery creature that terrorized the region years back. Whether reports are real or rumor, hopefully belief in these creatures won't be used as an excuse for mob attacks on elderly men and women suspected of witchcraft. Sounds fairly frightening. Listen, there are wild and crazy places where people have seen things, and just because we have civilization, like we have downtown Myrtle Beach, which is fairly civilized, it's as civilized as it gets. We've got Los Angeles, pretty sophisticated locations, right? But then
doesn't mean there's not weird stuff happening.
Go ahead and finish that thought, buddy.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that that weird stuff isn't happening, you know? I mean, like, we've talked about, I don't know, have we talked about on the show the lizard people of Los Angeles?
You know what? For all of the times that we have talked about the lizard people and that you and I have discussed the stories it's coming out here next week in Lizard Man Companion. I don't think we've ever spoken about the lizard people of Los Angeles on this show, or you and I have not discussed it on your other podcast, Cryptid Campfire.
Yeah.
What comments do you have about those dudes?
Well, I just got a personal Instagram message from someone saying that they know someone who said they saw a lizard man in Los Angeles. So it was, you know, a friend of a friend, if you will.
I hate to ask you to be like a doctor about Dr. Watson and Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson, but could you chase that person down? I'd like to talk with them.
Sure, yeah, I can find them for you.
Absolutely, because I mean, that would be perfect to put it in the upcoming Lizard Man book, because the Lizard Man is all about weirdness all over. So I could certainly talk about that, because there's a chapter in the book about the lizard people of Los Angeles. And it's a very odd story, and there's enough of a ring of truth about it that I don't want to discount it. Now, I know people laugh about it. Some people laugh about the lizard man around here in South Carolina. But I can guarantee if they were one of those 11 people that had a police report filed between 1988 and 89 in Bishopville, South Carolina, they weren't laughing about what they saw. I can guarantee you that. And
oh, yeah.
So did this, now, just, you know, we hadn't talked about this, so this will be good to share with our listeners. Now, was this a friend of yours on Instagram that said they knew someone who had seen a lizard man?
No, it was a listener from my other podcast, Cookie Campfire. So, I don't know this person personally.
Were they talking about the lizard man like we have out here, or the lizard people?
The lizard people, of Los Angeles. They were specifically referring to a sighting that occurred in Los Angeles. But all I was getting at is that just because we have civilization doesn't mean there's not weird things happening. And so I only brought that up to illustrate that point.
Well, I mean, it is Los Angeles.
Yeah.
No pun intended. Was this recently, like in the last several weeks?
I think the sighting occurred a couple of years ago. But this, I heard about it last week. Very recently. I just found out about it.
Okay. Well, yeah, if you can chase them down, please let me know. I'd love to get a statement from them about the lizard man and all that. I mean, or one of the lizard people. We have to careful how we say it so that we get it exactly right. Now, part two of my story, that first story came from Africa. Now comes the corresponding story that comes from Malaysia near Christmas time. Around Christmas, something unusual was seen in Malaysia, and it wasn't Santa Claus. Residents of the Kampung district were alarmed over reports of an orang anyak, which is Malay for the oily man, a bizarre monster said to be abducting young women by night throughout Malaysia. The creature has been occasionally sighted for decades, never been captured. According to a report in a Malaysian newspaper, I love it, a Malaysian newspaper. I mean, they didn't even go as far as the Yucatan Times, but some Malaysian newspaper, the Star.
Yeah.
I mean, how many are they called the Star? There were multiple sightings over the Christmas holidays. One eyewitness saw it crawling up the stairs of the house, said, "I don't think a human did that. It just disappeared." We can laugh and joke about it. This is serious. All the families have young girls. The orang anyak is kind of a character. Some folks believe believes supernatural and others say a human walk who himself with grease as black as his soul. Shiny black grease not only looks scary and disgusting, but it is said to help him escape one viewer's fingers. Now, I don't know about you, Eli, but I'm not going to be grabbing things like that.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts.
Of course, if a person actually covered himself that way, greasy hands and feet would make it very difficult for him to turn doorknobs and run around, not to mention cross sides.
Right.
Kind of weird. He'd
just be,
now,
just be slipping and sliding everywhere.
Yeah, you'd have grease all over you. Nasty. Have to go take a bath. While these creatures are not rooted in myth or folklore, some people argue that the Maniac is not a creature of folklore, but instead a Cyclopedia of Cryptozoology, a Google guide. The Orang Maniac is an aggressive unknown hominid or primate reported from the peninsula of Malaysia. Native of the region claim this large, hairy, bipedal creature attack rural villages by night. Carries off women. It's not clear what he or she can. I think I'd believe that. By far the best known of these Orang Maniacs or short man has been reported in the forests of Sumatra. This pot-bellied creature said to stand between 2 feet tall and change color from yellow to dark black. Some believe the hard evidence for the Orang Pendek is better than for Bigfoot or the Orang Maniac, though that's not really saying a lot. That's what he said. Okay. So there you go. And of course, it quotes Benjamin Radford, is deputy editor of the Skeptical Inquirer Science magazine, and co-author of The Martians Have Landed, A History of Media-Driven Panics and Hoaxes. His website is www.benjaminradford.com. Now, not Ben Radford, that will make him mad, and he'll pout if you call him Ben Radford. He likes to be called Benjamin Radford. So I can't wait to meet Benjamin Radford and call him Ben. I think it will be lovely. Anything. And he's the deputy. Now, I didn't know that he is the deputy editor of the Skeptical Inquirer Science magazine. I'll say that I beg to differ. That's okay. I would always beg to differ with Benjamin Radford. He just seems like he would be fun to get on his nerves. I'm terrible, aren't I, Eli?
Sometimes, yeah. But
well,
it's
that's
all right.
Okay. Look,
it's all right.
I keep you on your toes. You can't talk to me. You can't see me without saying, oh, watch something there. I mean,
yeah,
it is. I mean, it's played Bigfoot. Now, you know, there's the argument, well, can't prove Bigfoot exists, he must not exist. Well, you can't appear that he doesn't exist, so he must. That's called appealing ignorance, because you're not proving anything. And so, you know, before I figured this out and read some books on law, but and there's stories in Antarctica, and who knows, there really aren't stories down there. We sure don't hang out in Antarctica. But I think it's important because you have to examine facts. It's like the Lizard Man, and this is a talk that I had with Bob Lieberman. I really enjoyed the talk because he said, John, I believe Lizard Man. There were 11 police reports. 120 additional weddings. And something happened back then. And I call it South Carolina Greatness. And I would too. We don't know what happened, but something did. There are many people that reported the thing to the police.
Yeah.
And that's what I'll say about that. But I think it's a great story. And it's part of our folklore and culture. And we all really, well, you know, it's like the lizard people of Los Angeles. That's why when we were on the podcast with Devin, one of my hosts, on shoot a drone in. I mean, I don't know the drone. It's lovely, interesting.
Yeah, and wish you luck with that. Yeah.
That what do you mean, cool. Wish me luck? You're gonna be there. You're gonna be there with me. I'm not letting you get out of that one. We'll all be standing outside, and the drone will be inside. How's that?
All right.
That you okay with that?
Me, yeah.
Don't you and don't you get on this podcast and say, "Yeah, John, I wish you good luck." You're not getting away with that. Sorry.
No, no worries. No.
Yeah, you're not gonna get away. You're not gonna get away with that, buddy. Come on. Why would I come out there to find the Lizard Man of Los Angeles and find that bunch of clowns that went to the L.A. Times? Well, that was in 1932, so they may not be around. But I've got my divining rods, and I am going to make you a set and send them to you, and you'll be very happy when you get your divining rods.
That'll be fun.
But I wouldn't go down near where that tunnel is supposed to be and start using those things to see what you might accidentally find. I'd be a little bit careful with that. So what else is going on? What in the world of Los Angeles, the paranormal, and the cryptid campfire? What's going on with you folks out there?
Well, because of the lockdown, I guess you could say, we're just using Skype now to continue the podcast. We're not letting it stop us, so... We've been recording some episodes over Skype, so that seems to be working. So,
well, good. And now, when do we remind me? You're a Tuesday night boy on Cryptid Campfire, right?
Yeah. So we got new episodes come out on Tuesday, and sometimes Friday if we have two episodes a week. So, and
gotcha.
So actually, this Friday we did last night we did an interview with Nash Hoover of Chasing Legend, Guaji. So if you want to hear us talk about that, you can check that episode out when it comes out on Friday.
Now, have I heard Nash Hoover before? He's kind of well known, isn't he?
Yeah, he's getting more and more popular, you know, as he talks to more and more people. So he's going somewhere. So he does his own show, Chasing Legends, in which it's almost like a Josh Gates Destination Truth type of thing, where he goes out and tries to, with a camera crew, you know, and tries to find these things and see if he can, if there's some truth to it or not, you know?
I can tell you that I believe about 80% of these legends have some truth in them.
Yeah,
I've been searching for years, but I think this is in one of those 80-20 rules. I really do. So, I mean, I think we have to keep our eyes and ears open and check out with, you know, what's going on, because I think it's important. It's part of our heritage and part of our culture. Now, as far as you know, is there anything indigenous to the Hollywood Studio City area? Type cryptid or...
No, I don't know of anything out here. It's just those lizard people of Los Angeles. That's about all we got.
You know, it's funny. One would think that there would be a lot more legend out there, wouldn't one?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I mean, the Native Americans out here didn't keep any written records, and when the Spanish came and just kind of killed everybody, I mean, you never know. There could have been something that people talked about that just doesn't have a name or isn't really talked about. I don't know. You'd have to search pretty hard.
Right. Now, have you ever been to the La Brea Tar Pits?
Of course.
Aren't there some legends out there?
Of the La Brea Tar Pits?
Aren't there some legends out there?
Not that I'm familiar of. I can look into that and get back to you next week on
it. Because that was something that I'd heard about a long time ago, and I'd always been. Devin Tate does not live in that area, so he wouldn't know. But yeah, see what you could find, because I'd heard that there were, it might have been just murders followed by ghosts. But
yeah,
and you know that's certainly it's certainly something to look at. And one other thing. Because, you know, sometimes it's kind of fun when our L2Chupacabra.mx just kind of digresses into a little bit of paranormal, which you and I think is a lot of fun. Is mm-hmm. that house where the Black Dahlia stayed, is that still up or did they tear that down?
I'm unaware of that. I don't know that much about the Black Dahlia. I'm sorry.
I mean, you know that she was an aspiring young actress, and she ended up murdered.
Yeah,
it's one of the greatest unsolved. You know, I hate to say it's a great unsolved murder. It's terrible that anybody got murdered, but it's one of the best known unsolved murders in America.
Yeah,
and, I
don't know about the house. I don't know if it's still there or not.
Well, I mean, when I come out there, because you and I have a super secret project we are working on, don't we?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's right, and you and I will do some. Actually, you and I and some of the campfire folks, we should do several appearances out there when I'm there in Los Angeles, because that would be two paranormal podcast sets of posts. I think, and I'm sure Devin Tate would like to go with us, representing Cast and Murder 123. I think we'd have a blast. So we need to try to set that up so that everybody. I know what's really funny, and I know you might find this a little amusing. Maestro Papastro, the Maestro of Wrestling, Rob Kellum, one of my very closest friends, and whenever he is out wrestling, and he starts telling people on his podcast, and I tell him on mine that I'm going to be out there with at his merch table, I must have 15 to 20 people coming out to just see me. It's so funny. But I guess, you know, when you run a podcast, I guess names get out. But it is funny, you know, to go there and see, and I've just met some absolutely tremendous friends being around with Popstro and all. It's fun. So we have to do it. Maybe we can book some, because you will be co-author with me on the upcoming Lizard Man Canyon, because we've got to finish our story, and then I think Bennett, we're done with it. So we can do some autograph sessions at one of the bookstores. I think it'll be a lot of fun. Maybe we can do a podcast. There will be a lot of people that come to some metal shops to meet us. That's something we definitely put out there on our logistic run to check everything out to make sure the big thing will be. I'm looking forward to hanging out with you and Memphis Campfire and going to some of those cool places. And of course, the Brown Derby. You know, I'm hung up around the great Brown Derby. All the stars of the 1930s, 40s went out, ate, and drank themselves silly. And maybe we'll have an Ed party. How would that be?
That sounds fun.
Yeah. I think it'd be fun. We'll see if it's there. Kathy Wood. She's in New Mexico. Not New Mexico. She's in Nevada now. But maybe she'd drive because that's where her father had all of his rap party, the one that's still left. And that'd be on place for us to go. So maybe try to engineer a live podcast and show. I'm sure that Bradley wouldn't mind. We'll try to do some of that. It's just to talk about our plans. And if anyone out there lives in Los Angeles, Southern California, come by and see us. We'll have books. We'll talk. We'll all have a drink together. Just a bite. And you'll see why we love the Chupacabra. Maybe I've got a 7 foot tall Bigfoot standee. I'll get about a 5 foot tall Chupacabra.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Oh, heck yeah. And we'll do it during the daytime, and I will be in the hotel at night, safely in and away from the crazy things on the street and alleyways.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez, so I don't know. Devin has a frightening story. Devin Tate does. In fact, maybe. I'll see if Devin will come on the show next week to talk about that. It's not a Chupacabra story, but it's a Los Angeles story. There's nothing wrong with a few Los Angeles stories on this show, is there?
Nope, not at all.
Right, and we've got a couple others that Devin and I interviewed, some friends of his, who are of the paranormal variety and are from Los Angeles and Hollywood. So I'll see if maybe we can get some of those folks out as well as we do some live podcasts a couple nights that I'll be there. So anyway, that's what I've got this week for elchupacabra.mx. Love it, love it, love it. Can't wait to do our next show, which we'll announce soon. And so what have you got going on? Staying inside, I'll bet.
Oh, yeah.
Being a reject from coronavirus.
Yeah, just staying safe, you know, reading a lot. So just chilling, really.
Chilling like a villain. Well, that's a great.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly. Well,
chilling
I am
like a villain, you know.
And I'm working
so
hard as
I'll pick up some. I'll dig up some Chupacabra stories for next week, and
All right, and I'll see if Devin will come on for at least part of the show. He's got a really great story. I mean, I like the guy. He's one of the nicest people. Do you know how I met him? He's got a very interesting story. I used to run a comic con called Steampunk Mid-Atlantic in Raleigh, and I decided on the third year that I would name Gomez and Morticia Adams. They were going to be the fictional couple in honor of which the con was going to be run. Because I think Gomez and Morticia Adams, are you a fan? I know I am.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I love them.
I grew
I
up
think
with
the most
family.
They are the most engaging couple that I know. And they really are. So what happened was I kept thinking and thinking and thinking, well, how do they fit into steampunk? How does the Adams family fit into steampunk? And so, being the private investigator that I am, I went on to YouTube and I looked up every Adams family documentary I could find. Then I found one that was done in the early 90s. It was this boy, he looked about 17, and his name was Devin Tate. And for a 17-year-old, he was mighty literate about the Adams family. Smart guy. He's still smart. And so what happened was, and the other people, they looked like they were in their 50s or 60s in the early 90s. I said, well, these cats are dead. So what I did was I had about 15 people to look up on Facebook, and believe it or not, Devin Tate had a Facebook page. And, of course, I sent the old, you know, I'm doing research on this. I saw you in the documentary. I'd like to talk with you about this. And now, as someone who I know you're always trying to get guests for Cryptid Campfire, and, you know, you send out these Facebook messages, and you just know no one's ever going to reply, correct?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That afternoon, Devin Tate. Yeah, I'd love to be on an interview by you. I didn't even talk about interviewing. I just said a podcast. to do this. And he was all about it. He gave me his phone number. Like, man, he is. He didn't make me ask his phone number. Please have your phone number. He gave it to me, told me when to call him, and I did. We started talking, and we hadn't stopped since. Very, very smart guy. And a lot of fun. He's a musician. He plays on Sunset Strip.
Oh, of course, yeah.
It's so funny. The way I said that, that sounded like Donald Trump saying it. You know, Windy Ho, very famous out there. That's
sure.
The way he talks.
Tremendous.
It really is. But anyway, yeah, so anyway, he's been a co-host up time or full-time for 3 years. Such a great guy, and he's got some good stories. So he actually, and I interviewed Mark Makeup. Does his name ring a bell? Marky Makeup. Marky Makeup.
No, I'm not familiar with him.
Marky Makeup's one of the most famous makeup artists in Los Angeles. Super guy.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, he does a lot of great things. So Devin knows a lot of people. So I'll see if we can get him on there, and you can get some Chupacabra stories, and we can just have a great time next week on the one, the only.
Like a plan.
What's it called? The one and only.
LChupacabra.mx.
Thank you very much, kind sir, for cooperating. We'll see everybody next week. Take care.
Take it easy.
Bye.
Bye.
Now, I can never figure out how. I can't figure out where.